Good morning. Good morning. Shall we begin once again with the words of the Sufi invocation? Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Now, friends, some news has come this morning of a dear companion on the path within this Inaiti Sufi caravan, Salima Rose, that she has suffered a fall and is unconscious at this time. Know that she is dear to many here. So let us think of her and send her our sincerest prayers. We spoke last evening about the recognition that every being is held by the great being. And so our prayers for Salima Rose are our act of turning toward the holding of the One, the holding in which Salima Rose is now held. The care in that holding. And so I would like to invite you to join in the intonation of the words Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi. Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi. Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi. Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, Allah Shafi, Allah Kafi, alla shavi, alla kavi, 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 alla shavi, alla kavi. Now, for those who are close to Salima Rose, today will require balance. To maintain one's care for her, to keep sending prayers out toward her, and at the same time not to get caught up in a whirl of anxiousness and distraction, which could not help her, and which would not help us. Let your heart feel what it feels. And stay with the sheerness of it, the immediacy of it. Without the need to venture into speculation of any kind. Or anticipation of potential eventualities Stay with this moment. Stay with the prayer that keeps going out toward her. Stay with your knowledge of the hand of the one holding her. Knowing that whatever any one of us may go through today, tomorrow, and in the future, in all losses and gains, flourishings and witherings, moment by moment, this hand is held out as it is held out now, holding Salima Rose. Trust in this is not apathy, but rather it's the essence of loving care. So in this spirit, let us be present. Feel the ground under us, and the sky above us. We are here above a busy street. Amongst companions, known and unknown. But all drawn to the same purpose. The purpose of the renewal of the pledge. The pledge that we made in pre-eternity. To fulfill a divine purpose through incarnation. Let us be mindful of our breath, the life spirit moving between us, through us, in us, and beyond. Let the breath go all the way out as you exhale. And draw all the way in as you inhale. As chest rises, belly rises, chest rises still more, then chest contracts, belly contracts, chest contracts still more. With the rise and fall of the belly, one discovers a fountain there, a fountain of subtle breath, just beneath the navel. Watch the rhythm of the breath coming in and out, much like the memory of riding on a swing as a child. Swinging forward as you breathe out, and commensurately swinging back as you breathe in. The farther you fly forward, the farther you fly back. But let the exhalation and the inhalation flow evenly. Without first bursting out in a great gust and then quickly depleting one's exhalation, rather gradually unroll it like a carpet, a long carpet rolling out down the hallway. And then as you inhale, rolling back up again. And now we can take a step further to purify and equilibrate the channels of the breath by breathing in multiple directions. And we'll do this by lifting our hands so that the middle finger of the right hand is gently resting on the right nostril, and the thumb of the right hand is under the chin, and then the thumb of the left hand is resting upon the left nostril, and the back, the palm and fingers of the left hand are resting upon the back of the right hand. Now, without any strain, retaining the balance that has been established, close the right nostril and breathe in and out through the left nostril. And then close the left nostril and breathe in and out through the right nostril. And then breathe in through the left nostril and out through the right nostril. And now in through the right nostril and out through the left nostril. Now in through the left nostril and out through the mouth. In through the right nostril and out through the mouth. In through the mouth and out through the left nostril. In through the mouth and out through the right nostril. And then lowering the hands, inhaling through both nostrils and exhaling through both nostrils. Inhaling through the nose and exhaling through the mouth. Inhaling through the mouth and exhaling through the nose. Inhaling through the mouth and exhaling through the mouth. And return to a natural breath. As we sense our state, can you feel once again the heartbeat? And feel also the light in the heart, the vibration, the energy, the light. and follow that light out through the shoulder blade. To trace anew the plume that unfurls behind and above. And which sways, drawing in and flashing out. Now we're ready to take the next step. Our first step was undertaken under the auspices of the first verse of the invocation, toward the One, under the aegis of the divine name Al-Ahad, the One. In a spirit of indifference, which is to say, no longer making differences continuously between the two halves of the world that we have divided into halves. Then in the end of the day, we turned from the via negativa to the via positiva, from the sweeping out of the heart to the discernment of signs, moving into the space of the second verse, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. First we were under the sign of Saturn, now under the sign of Jupiter. Under whose influence there is an ascension. In the path, the first step is to learn to find beauty wherever it transpires. And the second step is to be lifted up by it, to be buoyed and exalted by the witnessing of beauty, and lifted toward the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty. At first we were drawn into the heart, its pain and joy, taken down beneath the surface of life into the inner meaning of our life story, Now we are led from the heart into the heart's source, from the qalb to the ruh. Just as the heart is the depth of the mind, the soul is the depth of the heart. Here, feelings, emotions resolve into a simpler clarity. An elegance, bespeaking the encounter with the sacred. Saint Benedict instructed the monks to utilize all things as one uses the vessels of the altar. This is the spirit of the Ruh. In which every event takes on a sacred significance. We have seen how the Aleph, the straight line, is the central axis of our embodiment. And we know that on either side of this axis, organs mirror one another. We have two hands, two feet, two eyes, two ears, and so forth. But the heart, the most palpable organ of life beating continuously, is to the left and lacks to the right a visible counterpart. But the law of polarity must convince us to look closely, even if the organ is not visible, is not tangible, it must be there, counterbalancing the qalb on the left. But to find it, one must refine the breath. Each successive spiritual organ can only be found through a commensurate refinement of the breath and of the attention. It's like looking for the thread of a spider's web in a forest. That gentleness of attention is necessary. As we inquire into the right breast, bring our breath there. Opening spaciousness, with shoulders relaxed, the burden lifted down, the breath delicately moving. And discerning a glow opposite the cardiac plexus. Diaphanous light. No harshness is in it, no glare. But a soft liquidity, and that glow radiates out through the shoulder blade into the space behind as a plume of energy unfurls. A wave of luminosity shimmering diffusing itself into the atmosphere, upwelling from the right breast and swaying, drawing nearer as you inhale and spreading out as you exhale. So we are conscious now of two plumes. Two sheets of radiance rooted in the left and right breast respectively, arcing around, swaying, contracting and expanding, their filaments interlacing at moments, A fine point is to find the place where imagination and sensation meet, which is to say, in all contemplative practice, and indeed in all action of any kind, imagination plays an important role. What we intend to do, we actualize by imagining it. And the imagination directs attention in body and mind to a phenomenon that reveals itself accordingly and manifests itself. Such that its manifestation becomes independent of the imagination. For example, if you think with sufficient intensity and clarity of mind about a lemon, cutting a lemon, drinking its juice, your mouth will water. It began as an imaginative act. The result was an objective physiological response that one can, in turn, sense, feel the water flowing into one's mouth. So there are two faculties to attend to. One is the direction of the practice. Animate the wings, imagine them, imagine their movements. But one must learn to segue into the simple act of witnessing what has unfurled through this prompting and how it reveals itself, how it evolves as it comes into manifestation, entering from the plane of pure mind into embodied existence, albeit embodied subtly, invisibly. Now let's withdraw the active act of manifesting the plumes, of delineating them, while supporting the continuation of what is felt in the left breast and in the right breast and in what flows from each. just as we continue to support the consciousness of our left leg and right leg and left arm and right arm without having to reimagine each. And the more that we sustain these subtle limbs, the more their presence will confirm itself day by day. And the more that the qalb and the ruh, the heart in the left, and the spirit heart in the right will stay open. Our next step takes us to the culmination of the ascent of the minor work into the stage enacted under the sign of the moon, as lead, which has turned to tin, now turns to silver. And we enter the signification of the third verse of the invocation. The only being. Among the images of this station are the archetype of the Virgin Mary, who secluded herself in a room at the top of a high flight of stairs above the busy streets of the town, in solitary ecstasy of worship and remembrance. Her soul a crystal chalice. The chalice in which the Christ child was to manifest. Pure capacity of the most pristine and sacred kind. Another symbol of this station is the Arctic landscape. A realm of snow and ice. All lushness of vegetation fades into starkness. Simplicity. A landscape of crystals, crystal caverns, and translucent springs. The freshest of air. And yet another symbol is that of the crescent moon. Tranquil and serene. Ethereal in its glow. There is in it none of the fiery intensity of the sun, but it is a delicate vessel . An argent grail. The recollection of the effect of moonlight upon the psyche conveys more than words can express. This coolness, this softness, this ease, this simplicity, this innocence. Utmost receptivity. The absence of exertion. Essence of rest. And we feel our 2 feet on the ground. And we're conscious of one another and the sounds from the street below. The time has come for the morning break, but may I ask that we protect this delicacy of feeling that we have cultivated and keep conversation to a minimum. If it's necessary to say something or hear something, let it be, but let's have regard for what we are entering into together now. So we can open our eyes. Now we'll have our break.